word most strange upon my lips.
My son.
Oh, Ben, why didst thou tell me not?
Luke walks to the cockpit.
Chewbacca, we must fly or we shall be destroyed.
It is Darth Vader on that ship. We are in danger here. When shall we fly?
Luke, come with me. Fulfill thy destiny.
Oh, Ben, I ask, why didst thou tell me not? What anguish and disorder fill my mind?
R2-D2 goes to the control panel.
It falls to me again to win the day and rescue the rebellion from dire loss. I shall reactivate the hyperdrive. Thus we shall fly to fight another time.
Oh, clever droid, great R2, rescuer!
R2-D2 adjusts the control panel, and the Millennium Falcon flies into light speed. Exeunt all but Darth Vader.
Fie! Fie! Yet once again the ship escapes. I shall devise brave punishments for those who put upon our state this grievous blight. Then shall I seek my son, the Jedi Knight.
Exit Darth Vader. Scene 4. Aboard a Rebel cruiser. Enter Luke Skywalker.
The medic droid hath fixed my hand with care, though never shall it fully be repaired. For though I can this hand use as before, it shall ne'er truly be a hand of mine. For now I am machine, though partly so. Now have I ta'en a step toward the man who saith he is my father, yet his wires and bolts. O hand, I find thee yet so dear. Pray, serve me well and prick my memory that I did once the dark side briefly know and faced and fought and ultimately failed. Then rise once more with me, my true right hand. Thy rightful place thou shalt take at my side to right the wrongs that we have suffered. And right now thou and I begin to work toward righteousness in great rebellion's cause.
Enter Chewbacca, Princess Leia, and Lando.
Now, Lando, shalt thou go?
Aye, Luke, for all hath been prepared. When we find Jabba and the bounty hunter, we shall tell thee all.
I'll meet thee where we planned, on Tatooine, my homeland that is now estranged from me.
Good princess, now farewell. Apologies most earnest I convey again. And with them come a vow. We shall find Han, I swear.
Dear Chewie, I'll await thy signal. Now take thou care. The Force be with ye both.
They move to separate parts of the stage.
Now ends this troubled time of Empire's rise. Our time of harsh betrayal. Painful loss. Now have we learned what friendship truly costs. And in the learning lost a comrade strong.
Along the way, our hearts were moved much. By sacred love, most wondrous to behold. By bravery that shall outlive the times. By sacrifice of our most precious friends.
Encounters unexpected we did meet, with masters wise and persons unforeseen. These are the Star Wars, yet they are not done. For sure, the final chapter's just begun.
Enter Chorus as epilogue.
A glooming peace this morning with it brings. No shine of starry light or planet's glow. For though our heroes scape the Empire's slings, the great rebellion ne'er has been so low. Brave Han is for the Empire's gain betrayed, which doth leave Princess Leia's heart full sore. Young Luke hath had his hand repaired, remade. The man is whole, but shaken to the core. Forgive us, gentles, for this brutal play, this tale of sorrow, strife, and deepest woes. Ye must leave empty, sighing lack-a-day, till we, by George, a brighter play compose. Our story endeth, though your hearts do burn, and shall, until the Jedi doth return.
Exeunt omnes. End.
Hi, this is Ian Desher, author of William Shakespeare's The Empire Striketh Back, and this is The Afterword. A winter's tale indeed. William Shakespeare's The Empire Striketh Back. Let me lift the curtain a bit to tell you about four aspects of what you've just heard. First of all, what does Yoda sound like in a galaxy filled with Elizabethan speech? This was the question that gnawed at me as I began to write this second Star Wars book. Yoda is famous for his inverted phrase order, but many people who read William Shakespeare's Star Wars commented that every character in it sounds a little like Yoda. So what to do? Originally, I had four ideas. First, do a complete reversal and have Yoda talk like a modern person. Stop it. Don't try, just either do it or don't do it. Seriously. Second, have Yoda talk in something like Old English, approximating Chaucer. Nay, do ye nay tree, aber do it, oder do it not. My Chaucer admittedly isn't great. Third, don't do anything special, and have Yoda talk like the other characters. Fourth, repeat Yoda's lines verbatim from the movie, nodding to the fact that Yoda already sounds a little Shakespearean. In the end, as you've heard, I had a fifth idea, which I hope is better than any of these. Yoda is a wise teacher, almost like a sensei. He has something of an Eastern sensibility about him. Why not express that by making all of his lines haiku? Yes, I know, Shakespeare never wrote in haiku. But he did break from iambic pentameter in certain cases. Puck from A Midsummer Night's Dream speaks in iambic tetrameter, songs in several Shakespearean works break meter, and so on. And yes, I know, the 5-7-5 syllable pattern I adhere to in Yoda's haiku is a modern constraint, not part of the original Japanese poetic form. Most haiku are simpler than Yoda's lines and do not express complete sentences as Yoda's haiku do. I know, I know. Remember, this isn't scholarship. It's fun. For you purists, if these haiku have offended, think but this and all is mended, that you have but slumbered here while these haiku did appear. Second, William Shakespeare's The Empire Striketh Back introduces us to the first character in my Shakespearean adaptations who speaks in prose rather than meter, Boba Fett. Shakespeare often used prose to separate the lower classes from the elite. Kings spoke in iambic pentameter, while porters and gravediggers spoke in prose. In writing William Shakespeare's Star Wars, I did not want to be accused of being lazy about writing iambic pentameter. But with this book, it was time to introduce some prose. Who better to speak in base prose than the basest of bounty hunters? Third, one criticism of William Shakespeare's Star Wars I heard several times, and took to heart, was that I overused the chorus to explain the action sequences. Some argued that I shouldn't have used a chorus at all, which I disagree with. When I began writing the first book, the chorus seemed like a logical way to show the action scenes without actually showing them, and there was precedent in Shakespeare's Henry V. However, by leaning heavily on the chorus, I neglected another Shakespearean device of having a character describe action that the audience can't see. Here's an example from Hamlet, Act 4, Scene 7, in which Gertrude describes what happened to Ophelia.
There is a willow grows aslant a brook, that shows his hoar leaves in the glassy stream. There with fantastic garlands did she come, of crow flowers, nettles, daisies, and long purples, that liberal shepherds give a grosser name. But our cold maids do dead men's fingers call them. There on the pendant boughs her coronet weeds, clambering to hang, an envious sliver broke, when down her weedy trophies and herself fell in the weeping brook. Her clothes spread wide, and mermaid-like a while they bore her up, which time she chanted snatches of old tunes, as one incapable of her own distress, or like a creature native and endued unto that element. But long it could not be, till that her garments, heavy with their drink, pulled the poor wretch from her melodious lay to muddy death.
This device is called on more frequently in William Shakespeare's The Empire Striketh Back, giving the chorus a needed break. Fourth, Lando. As much as I like Billy Dee Williams, and as smooth as he was in 1980, in my opinion his character isn't fleshed out very well. We never know what he was thinking when he was forced to betray his friend, or what made him decide to help Leia and Chewbacca in the end. Filling in some of Lando's story with asides and soliloquies that show how conflicted he feels hopefully gives him some depth and makes him even more compelling than in the movie. Once again, writing William Shakespeare's The Empire Striketh Back was a delight. Most Star Wars fans agree that Empire is the best of the original trilogy, and I hope I've done it justice. I say most Star Wars fans because, in fact, Empire is not my personal favorite. I prefer Return of the Jedi, thanks in large part to two things. First, it is the first Star Wars movie I saw in the theater. I was 6. Second, when I was growing up, we owned a VHS tape of From Star Wars to Jedi, The Making of a Saga, and I loved hearing about the 7 puppeteers who made Jabba move, seeing how the Rancor came to life, learning how the speeder bike sequences were done, and so on. That said, of the 3 movies, Empire has the most Shakespearean themes. Betrayal, love, battles, destiny, teachers, and pupils. All of those, plus the shocking father-son relationship. In some ways, Empire follows an ancient story form that Shakespeare used, a classic tragedy, with Luke Skywalker as the tragic hero. He's like the Greek tragic hero Oedipus, who learns only too late that his mother is his wife and tears out his eyes after she hangs herself. Luke discovers that Darth Vader is his father just after losing a hand. Close enough, right? Luke also demonstrates some serious hubris, just like Oedipus. He faces Darth Vader before being truly ready, despite the objections of the 2 remaining Jedi in the entire galaxy. And he pays the tragic price for it. Along the way, Han Solo is put on ice, and Leia's and Chewbacca's hearts are broken. All the heroes will, of course, live on, and the tragedy will turn toward Darth Vader's redemption in Return of the Jedi. But when you take Empire as a single unit, the tragedy is Luke's, and the rebels see the worst of things by far. Thank you for continuing this adventure with me. I hope William Shakespeare's The Empire Striketh Back offers plenty for both Star Wars fans and Shakespeare fans to appreciate. For instance, I hope talking wampas, AT-ATs, and space slugs, to say nothing of singing Ugnaughts, bring a smile to your face. And did you notice whom Han and Leia sound like once they start getting romantic? Hint, look at the line endings. The positive response to William Shakespeare's Star Wars was a gift to me as a writer. I hope my retelling of Empire, and Return of the Jedi, coming soon, is a fitting thank you.
We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of William Shakespeare's The Empire Striketh Back, Star Wars Part the Fifth by Ian Desher. Read for you by Daniel Davis, Jonathan Davis, Ian Desher, Jeff Gerner, January Leroy, and Mark Thompson. Additional voices supplied by Joe Scalora. William Shakespeare's Star Wars is a production of Lucasfilm Limited and trademark copyright 2014. Now go home! You're not allowed to line up for the third one. You need to leave. You, a sleeping bag, get out of here. Go back to your mum's basement. No, I won't pose for a painting. What do you mean you've wrote one yourself? Go home, Ben Charge, and stop drinking.